Winter has come a little early this year. We don't always have snow for Christmas, and I think we'll probably keep it till then. I don't think it's going anywhere. So we won't have to dream about a white Christmas. We will have one. This is going to be less of a sermon today and more of a testimonial. In fact, I'm just really just going to call it a testimonial. I had thought of, well, prior to knowing that Adam was ill, I was going to just spend a couple minutes sharing something about my life this morning, because I think it's important that we share God's goodness in our lives. I don't think, talk about that in a public forum often enough. There are a lot of different ways that God moves in our lives, but we don't tend to tell people. And so then people don't hear about it, and they may be in a season of life where they're not seeing that goodness of God. And it takes hearing about it in other people's lives to kind of help open up our own eyes. A few weeks ago, I talked about a skit I had seen by One Time Blind, and it had to do with being thankful to God for what you receive. If you weren't here, or you don't remember the details, I'll go through it real quick. So a person comes on stage and they're praying, you know, God, I really want this thing. This thing would really help my life. And the Jesus character comes out. It's holding a 12-ounce pop. It's like, here, this is the thing that you were praying for. You know, I'm giving you this gift. The person's like, oh, this is awesome. I can't, like, you answered my prayer. I have this. This is so good. And then the person sees another person come walking in holding a 20 ounce. And then they look at theirs and they look at, like, Jesus, why didn't you give me the 20 ounce? I want the 20 ounce, not the 12. And the message is about being content with the blessings that you have. And there's some more dialogue with Jesus talking about, you know, I picked this out especially for you. This was for you. I want to extend that story a little further maybe a little bit of the other side of that potential. Is you pray for that 20 ounce. Okay, I really want this 20 ounce. I've been waiting. This is the thing that I want. And you don't get it. God says, he answers the prayer with a no. And you're kind of devastated, and you take matters into your own hands. I feel like there's some examples in the Bible about this, but instead of waiting for God, you take matters into your own hands and you take the 20 ounce. And like, okay, this is the thing that I wanted. And God is off to the side holding a 3-liter. Anyone remember 3 liters? It was great for gaming. He's holding a 3-liter saying, this is what I wanted to give you. Why did you take that for yourself? So it's with those thoughts in mind that I want to talk about waiting on God. And the first thing I want to talk about is God's faithfulness. You don't wait for someone that you don't expect to come through. If you ask your child to go get you your shoes, and you know that there is a 0% chance that they will actually grab your shoes and bring them to you, how long are you going to wait for that? Not very long. If you know 100% that they will bring you the shoes, it may take a little bit. If you're asking Gentry to go get your shoes, it may, you know, it's going to be the family circus dotted line running all over the house. But if you think 100% he's going to bring them, okay, I just have to wait a little bit. Okay, I'm not comparing God to a small child. But in the same sense, if we have faith that God is going to answer our prayer, may not be how we want, but it's going to be per his will and per his wisdom, then we can be content and wait. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 10 through 14. For thus says the Lord, when 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will visit you, and I will fulfill to you my promise and bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. You will seek me and find me. When you seek me with all your heart, I will be found by you, declares the Lord. And I will restore your fortunes and gather you from all the nations and all the places where I have driven you, declares the Lord. And I will bring you back to the place from which I sent you into exile. Now, I think this scripture, specifically verse 11, is often taken out of context. This isn't a passage that we pull out and apply to everything that happens in our lives. This is Jeremiah speaking specifically to the nation of Israel and God telling them, I have plans for you, plans that you don't know about, but I do have plans for you. So I don't want us to mistake this as saying this is God speaking directly to us. However, I think the part that is after that in verse 12 and 13 and 14 is something that we can look at. God wants what is best for his people. He wanted what was best for Israel. He wants what's best for us. But what does God say? You call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. You will seek me and find me. When you seek me with all your heart, I will be found by you. Seeking is very important. We need to be seeking after God's heart and his will. Jesus talks about this. In Matthew chapter 6, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body or what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his lifespan? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. To Jesus, it is important that we have our priorities in correct alignment. If God is not at the top, if you are not seeking first God and his kingdom and his righteousness, how can you expect that the rest would follow? Jesus doesn't say, seek God third, and all these things will be given to you. He says, seek God first. So how do we seek God? What's a way that we can seek God? What is prayer? Generically, what is prayer? Communication. It's talking. Maybe you pray silently, maybe you use verbal, maybe you write it down. But it's communication. You are communicating with God. James has some things to say about prayer and the power of prayer. James chapter 1. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. But let him ask in faith. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. James has some harsh things to say about someone that prays for something but is doubting in their heart. In James chapter 5, is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick. And the Lord will raise him up, and if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man has great power as it is working. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and heaven gave rain, and the earth bore its fruit. And Paul also weighed in on this subject in Philippians chapter 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. James is really focusing in on when we pray, when we are asking God, when we are petitioning him for something, there's a certain mindset that we need to have when we do that. We need to ask in faith, not doubting. Praying is the easy part. Everyone can pray. Trusting that God is going to answer that prayer, that is the hard part. That is the part that requires growth and maturity. So we have faith that God will answer our prayer. We have prayed. We've asked God for this thing or for a path to open up or whatever it is. Well, God, I prayed last night and I'm waiting. Has it happened yet? Let's look at waiting on God. There are many scriptures that talk about waiting on God. It's almost as if this is a thing that God expects us to do. In Romans chapter 8, Paul says this: likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches the hearts knows what is in the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that for those that love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. Paul's not talking about waiting here, but I thought it important to tie in his words on God works things for good. Bad things happen in our lives. Scripture does not promise that your life will be easy. But there is a promise of God working things for the good. There are a number of psalms that talk about waiting for God. I'm going to touch on a few of them here. Psalm 25, Psalm 31, 31, or 33, 37. I'm not going to read them all. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, in you I trust. Let me not be put to shame. Let not my enemies exalt over me. Indeed, none who wait for you shall be put to shame. Love the Lord, all you his saints. The Lord preserves the faithful, but abundantly repays the one who acts in pride. Be strong and let your heart take courage, all who wait for the Lord. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope in his steadfast love, that he may deliver their soul from death and keep them alive in famine. Commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will act. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. The writer of Lamentations has some things to say about waiting as well. In chapter 3, the Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. Seeking and waiting. It is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. And finally, the last scripture from Hosea. So you, by the help of your God, return, hold fast to love and justice, and wait continually for your God. So, I want to be clear that this is not a prosperity gospel. I am not saying that God is a vending machine that is going to distribute health and wealth if you just pray for him and wait for it to happen. This is about seeking God, talking with God about your life, your hopes, your dreams, and then being patient, waiting. As I look over the course of my life, I can see inflection points where God has acted, where my will was maybe one direction, but his will was a different one. And I can be stubborn, so he laid things out so that I had no choice but to walk through the door he wanted me to walk through. She didn't want me to mention it, but I'm going to mention just a little. My meeting Anne and the things that transpired in our marriage did not happen by accident. I started praying for my future spouse when I was about 12 or 13. And there were other moments where I thought, oh, this must be the 12-ounce that I've been praying for. And God is off in the wing saying, I have a 3-liter right here. Just be patient. It taught me patience. And that patience was rewarded. When I first got a job, I interviewed with, it was 14, 15 companies. I had exactly one job offer. It made that decision easy. And through that job offer, I stayed in Michigan, and I made my way to here in Midland. Had I taken a different job, I likely wouldn't be here. But here is where God wanted me to be. I'm going to talk a little bit more about employment as inflection points. But there are many others throughout my life. A couple years ago, back in 2016, so more than just a couple years ago. In 2016, my company, the company that Lisa Chai works for, was part of Dow. Dow DuPont came together. They split apart with the intention of forming this third company called Corteva. At that time, I was finishing what the work I was doing. I had an opportunity to apply for jobs either in what would be Dow, what would be DuPont, or what would be Corteva. And I prayed, God, make this simple for me. Give me one path. I don't need the choices. Give me the path that you want. And that worked out. The path that I am on now is so much better than what I think the other paths would have been. A couple years ago, I interviewed for a position, and I prayed. As I've gotten older, as I've matured, praying and being intentional about it has become more a part of me. I won't say that early on it was as solid. So I interviewed for this position. I thought I was perfect for it, had all the job experience. It was going to be great. And then I found out I didn't get it. And it was a little devastating. because I was sort of between roles and I didn't know what I was going to do next. My future was unclear. Anne, who is the wiser of the two of us, said, "Did you pray about this?" I said, "Yeah." "Well, then accept God's answer." It's like, oh. Yeah, I need to accept God's answer. Still wasn't easy. Still had to work through some feelings. Again, God was off to the side holding a three-liter. The role that I was then, I didn't even interview for. It was just sort of like, "Hey, we were impressed by your interviewing. Come do this other thing." Was much better than what I had not gotten. Has opened up other doors, has put me on a different trajectory personally that I wouldn't have had with this other role. And this brings me to kind of present day. I'm at another inflection point. Over the course of the last couple months, there have been a couple roles that have been available or opened up for interview that had some things, some job experiences that I thought I needed right now. So I interviewed for them. Again, kind of on paper, I have all the experiences, I have all the things. First job, nope, we decided to go a different direction. Okay. Second job, nope, decided to go in a different direction. This time, unlike 2 years ago or 3 years ago, I went into it with as much faith as I could. Even telling the people I was interviewing with, if you don't select me for this, that's okay. I'm at peace with that. Told my boss, I prayed about this, and whatever door is opened, I'm good with it. And I really was. Yes, there was a little bit of disappointment because I'm still human. But I was okay with whatever God had. In fact, I think my text to Bill, Bill's been a good career support for me, a good friend. I shouldn't just say career support, but a good friend. We were texting back and forth, and I said, for this last job, there's three options. Either I'm not going to get it, I'm going to get it, or there's something better. And again, God was off to the side holding a three-liter. This past week, I had a one-on-one with my boss, and she offered me a new position, a position that I didn't even have to interview for, I was selected for, a position that was much better than the others for a variety of reasons. And it will give me opportunities that the other positions would not have given me. I wanted to share this as a testimonial. This is not, and I hope it doesn't come across this way, this is not about look at me. This is a testimonial to say, look at God. Look at your life. Look at how you are praying. Are you praying with faith? Are you praying with certainty that God is going to answer your prayer? And are you waiting for him? They said, I have not always done this. I have not been patient. I have not been trusting. I hope you can learn some from my experiences and help the struggles that you're going through, the things that you're praying about, help you to approach God faithfully and with patience.